accession number 19774, Reel 2.
Colonel Pierre Sarkowski, Reel 2.
Well, I tried to explain, as I actually was caught, brought to a court, very primitive court actually, in camp. There was interrogation, and various questions asked, and prosecutor told the court that I should be shot for the sabotage. Well, I felt rather very sorry for myself. I felt, my goodness, I'm going to just die for nothing. This far away from my family, far away from my country. And I actually was telling them as it happened. Well, they believed it was very, very sheer accident. And eventually, I was acquitted.
Who were your judges?
Well, I'm very much surprised. They're very much looking like prisoners of myself, dressed up in these shabby clothes, and looking sort of very Asiatic types. And luckily, I came to a camp back. Actually, the guards took me to camp, and everybody was surprised that I'm alive, and I came back. They felt that I'll be shot on the spot after the sentence was read to me.
Was the work in this logging camp well organized or not?
I wouldn't say it was very, very organized. Actually, we have to move from place to place to logging the trees. And, to Russian standard, I think it was reasonably organized. But the food was rather poor. It was divided into three parts for the people who didn't do enough work. The people who managed just to get it. And some people who actually extending the effort actually to logging more trees.
Did the system of giving and denying food work in getting good work out of people?
Well, unfortunately, it was we're always hungry. We're always hungry, and as I was working with the horse, I was actually stealing some of the oats and trying to chew it, to eat it.
What was your state of health in this place?
Well, luckily, as I was quite well nourished at home and physically very much well developed, because I was quite a sportsman, and my mental attitude was just right, because I felt that I am suffer for the example, I'm suffer for my country. I was actually, all of a sudden, I became very deeply religious. And that mental attitude actually kept me very strong indeed. And I felt that eventually, the life might change for the better. That either we might be released or something might happen. We felt that it's not ended the war. And we're always telling Russians, even the guards, that Germans, that Russia will have to fight with the Germans. They didn't believe us. They felt that Germans are friends and it will never happen again. And luckily, we heard about the Polish-Russian agreement to form a Polish army.
How did you hear about it?
We heard actually by people who were coming from different camps. They didn't break us in news in the camp because they wanted to keep us working hard and support the Russian economy. We protested very strongly. We said the Polish army is going to be formed. We want to be released. We want to move when the army is organized. And matter of fact, they kept us for some time until they decided to let us go.
What happened then?
Well, they were really, at the same time, they were trying to persuade us there is no transport going west, only the armament going and the soldiers going west after the war broke out. But we said we must get it to the army. And eventually they organized a train and moved south. Very little food, and we have to steal on the way actually from fields and feed us ourselves, and eventually got to the army.
What did you get out of the fields?
Well, the beetroots, potatoes, we are boiling them. If the train stopped, we're trying to boil them. That was our main diet, I'm afraid.
How was the train journey organized?
Well, train actually quite well organized, I would say, but it was stopping unexpectedly in the fields or out of the towns, not even telling us when they're going to move. And unfortunately, some of our people actually left behind, because they were searching for food and get away from the train, and they could manage to get on the train.
Were there many of you traveling south?
Yes, I would say in the train I was in, there was about several hundred people.
Men or women?
Men, mostly, no women.
Then what do you remember?
Well, we're traveling quite a distance, and eventually we reached when the Polish army is organized, one of the republics, a town called Kubyshev. I got to the army and was accepted actually as a being young man and reasonably fit. And I got into the infantry unit.
Did you wish to go in the infantry?
Well, I wanted actually to be a rather cavalry, because very fashionable before the war, or get to the armor brigade, whatever it is, but unfortunately they kept me in infantry. There was no chance to move to another unit. And in February 1941, I managed to get into the cadet school.
February
42? 42. February 42. I tried to get, well, I got to the infantry cadet school. I passed with flying colors. I was one of the top who actually passed the training. And I got back to the same unit already as the cadet officer, and I was found myself with the 3-inch mortar platoon, the 3-inch mortars. And from since, I was all the time actually with 3-inch mortars. And as you know from the fact that we were evacuated to Middle East, and our training were actually very intensive because we knew we have to prepare ourselves to the action, military action. We had to be kept quite well fed because we were very much unnourished. Many, many people actually died in Russia of very diseases and starvation, even in the army. Especially of diseases, like malaria and typhoid. So we're trained in Iraq, in Palestine.
Just before we go on to the Middle East, can you tell me what opinions of Russia and their social system you had when you left after your experience of it?
Well, obviously, we're very critical, but we have to keep ourselves, not express our point of view, because they're very dangerous, and spies, actually, even in the army, which were planted by Russians, actually, without stating in my book, they were deliberately, actually, planted by Russians. And we were warned by our commanding officers that we mustn't express our point of view about Russia. So obviously we kept all things for ourselves. But on my way to the camp, I met very surprising, I met a Russian officer, which was the flying officer. And he was very much against the Russian government. I was very much surprised. And I was, again, very careful whether it was a provocation, sheer provocation, or whether he was honest. So I didn't keep maintain the conversation. And as I was on my way to the army, our train stopped, and on the same station, a Russian train stopped, full of injured Russians from the front, which were moving east to the hospitals. And I got that train, and I wondered if I get some bread from them or something to eat. And they were very critical against the Russian government. I was very much surprised the first time actually I came across when they were very bitter about the country. And in various prisons which I mixed up with Russians, they were expecting Germans. They felt if the Germans come along, the system will change and that totalitarian country maybe become sort of more reasonable.
So what kind of criticisms were they making of their government?
Well, who made Russians?
These injured Russians.
Yes, exactly. He said to me, well, why are we going to the army? He said, look what's happened to us. What were you fighting? Were you fighting to support that evil system? And he said to me, are you going to, even yourself, going to support that evil system and Stalin and so forth. So, again, actually, as I said, I try to not to be involved in conversation or any criticism because actually I didn't know what this, again, it was sheer provocation. I learned to keep my mouth shut.
What was your journey out of Russia like?
Well, actually, it was very rather horrific, I would say, because they tried to get as many people as possible, even the sick people as well. And we got on the tanker. It was the oil tanker, which was very, very crowded indeed. No toilet facilities, no water. It's only the bit of a bread, which was dried as a sort of biscuit form. And we are still not certain whether we reach Persia or not, because we heard already that you know, the Russian might sort of accidentally try to sink the ship, the oil tanker. But eventually we got into the Persia. And we felt this is the great day to us, which will be free. We got to the Baglevi port, also the small port, and we have to change really, and we have to get rid of our clothes because of the full of flies. Unfortunately, it was filled and dirty, so we came through quarantine, stayed in the camp for a while, but we were quite well fed, I would say, very well fed. Actually, we got to the full physical norm. I personally did, and we stayed for a while. Actually, it was a resting time for us. We swim in the Caspian Sea, and we enjoy ourselves. And it was very little training then. And then we moved to Palestine.
What was Persia like after Russia?
Sorry, do you want?
Can you tell me what you felt about Persia after Russia?
It was actually heaven to us. We had excellent food, plenty of food. We can't buy things. As I'm saying, as we got out of the big prison, which was the Russia, I would say.
What happened to you in the Middle East?
Again, we're going through extensive training. Unfortunately, I got malaria. So I spent quite a lot of time in the camp for the people, actually, with the same illness, the same symptoms of malaria. Really, that affected me very badly, really. I had a very, very actually bad case of malaria. In one stage, I felt I would die. It was so bad.
Where was this?
That was in Palestine.
Where were you in the hospital?
Yes, I was in the hospital for some time, actually. Well, sort of field hospitals. As such, I spent quite a time. From time to time, I have to go back because the reoccurrence of the malaria.
Yeah.
Well, but again, we went very extensive training in Palestine and in Iraq as well. Well, first of all, we are guarding the oil fields in Iraq. That was our main duty. And where we are trained with the proper equipment, which we got it actually with the armament, which we got it, and we trained, we prepare ourselves for the mountains actions, went even to Lebanon, and again went through a very tough training. I had extra army education in the big army center, Polish Army Center in Iraq, which was an extra training actually to the as a platoon commander. And at the same time, I moved to the British camp, Army camp, which is in Smaila, which has improved my knowledge of the equipment, and obviously there were very, very good instructors we had. We learned quite a lot about the tactics and the using of the equipment, which again, I was all the time with 3-inch mortars. In one stage, I tried to get away from the infantry, and I tried to get into the Navy. And the officer from the London came along, and he was looking for the ex-Navy people who would be transferred to England as of the, some of the pilots as well, actually, the pre-war pilots, they were transferred to England to be trained on the Messerschmitt, and they took part in the Battle of Britain. And I tried very much so to join the Navy, because actually before the war I was very much very keen either to go cavalry, which was very extreme, either to go to the Navy. But I couldn't be accepted as I wasn't trained properly. And they weren't looking for the already experienced Navy men. And so I lumbered and stuck with the infantry. After the extensive training, especially in Lebanon, we moved to Egypt to be embarked and moved to south of Italy after the invasion to move. We got in Italy. Eventually we moved to the front line, south of part of Italy, which is the near River Sangro, called, not very far from Monte Cassino. And I learned I was to be commissioned as an officer, as a second lieutenant. Again, we are being relieved by the French units, and they learned that we're going to move to Monte Cassino. Well, we are not very well informed that the previous attacks on Monte Cassino were very unsuccessful. This news somehow didn't reach us. That was kept as a secret from us, I don't know, by the high command, and eventually moved. And unfortunately, as we moved to the Monte Cassino, my platoon commander was wounded.
How?
Just by the artillery fire.
What was the name of your unit?
It was the 17th Lvovsky Battalion, Infantry Battalion, and 5th Division, and obviously 2nd Polish Corps.
And which company and platoon were you in?
Well, the platoon actually was the rather independent platoon, which belongs to the actually was under direct orders from the battalion commander.
And then when this man was hit?
Well, I was called to the headquarters, brigade headquarters, and I was given a task, what my duty will be and my inaction during the Monte Cassino battle. And I was told to find suitable position when I can put my mortars for the action, prepare for the action. Unfortunately, we have to move the place when we stayed, when my platoon commanders wounded because the Germans knew quite well that we were there.
And what instructions were you given specifically?
To find a suitable place in one of the mountains when I kept my my position and prepare my action, my firing action during the battle for Monte Cassino. And then following night, the company platoons came along. The mules platoon came along, and we put our stuff on them and moved during the night to a new position. And luckily, everything was okay, well organized, without any hitch. And we are told actually to keep quiet during the preparation, not to fire until we get an order when we should actually open the fire. And I had a special task to support the another unit which will be in action. It's the code, the mountainous code, which was the I have to when the cavalry unit actually will move to occupy it is the Passo Corno code, north of Monte Cassino. And I was actually during the battle actually had to go orders from the battalion commander, which where I should give the support. And I had an observer at the same time, which was observing actually when the Germans actually were, where the position they were. I had it before actually the action. We had a very well plan and the photostats as well, which I worked out and directed my fire during the action. During the battle, actually, I fired about 3,600 rounds of ammunition, which is quite a lot for the mortars. It's not like the guns. Mortars is actually have to be cooled down. Barrels have to cool down after each round of fire, because it was getting hot, and then, you know, the fire wasn't accurate. I stayed with my platoon quite a long, about a month. Luckily, I hadn't any casualties, because we were actually found out the position quite well secured from the observation, from the fire. But there was another unit behind us, heavy mortars, which when we opened the fire, they got the fire on their positions, because the Germans actually were on the line of their observation. So we're very lucky indeed. It's only actually the end of the battle they found out.